Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we are here and we are doing life together. And as always, we're really glad that you've tuned in.
Dr. Linda, it's always a pleasure to be sharing the microphone with you on the weekends. And
we're actually not sharing a microphone.
That's true.
You know, you say that. We say that in the biz, I guess.
True, right.
But we actually have our own microphones.
We do. That is nice. It might get uncomfortable sitting in the same chair.
Yeah, trying to really microphone. Share the microphone, right?
Right. Well, it is summertime.
Yes, it is.
And you see lots of pictures of the beach on Facebook and Instagram. But we know that so many people listening don't feel good about putting on a bathing suit and enjoying the water.
You know, it's funny that you said that because a friend of mine I met after church the other day bought a new house, and she's always wanted a pool in her house.
Right.
You know, and so she was so excited about this, and she was telling me how they finally got a pool, but then she said, and her husband was standing right next to her, and this just cracked me up. She goes, she's from New York, so she had this very New York accent, and she said, this body doesn't go out in public in a bathing suit. Only my backyard sees this.
Right.
And I had to laugh, but I thought, you know what? You know what? So many of us feel that way, and a lot of us that are, you know, dealing with our bodies feel like we always have to lose some weight to feel good about ourselves and to feel better.
That is true. And I was surprised when you told me that August is the month most people will begin to diet and try to lose weight.
You know, I was surprised about that too, Chris. You probably don't remember when we did the New Year's show back in January.
That's been a long time ago.
It's been a few months ago. But when I was getting ready for this show, I remembered thinking, oh, yeah, when we were doing the New Year show, because one of the New Year's resolutions that a lot of people have is they want to lose weight. And I remember reading the research, and the research says actually more people start diets in August than in the new year. So that really took me off guard.
That's interesting because by August, bathing suit season is nearly over. Why is that?
Well, I think it has to do with, you know, we eat a little bit healthier in the summer. We're not wearing as many clothes in the summer in terms of more of your body is showing.
Right.
So you're more aware. It's real easy to sort of cover up in the wintertime and put lots of layers on and nobody sees really what you look like. And an interesting idea around this is that we're all kind of in this rhythm of going to school in the fall, right? So in August, you take your kids, you get their new school supplies, you start thinking about the new year. And there is some research that says people start to kind of get in that cycle every fall thinking it's a new year, it's a new start. Yeah. I'm going to start this fall and do the things that I wanted to do. So you've been sort of conditioned to think about starting something new in the fall.
Not me.
Not you.
I prepare to hibernate.
In the fall?
Just like a bear.
Well, that's winter.
We have to eat and stock up and be ready for...
Oh, so you're getting ready
as you
go.
Well, since it is August, we want to give you some help when it comes to dieting and weight loss. And we're talking about your relationship to your body and how you think about getting healthy and losing weight. I know, Dr. Linda, this is an area that you've actually specialized in for more than 25 years.
Yeah, and I like the idea that we're talking about the relationship you have with your body. Because we talk about interpersonal relationships a lot on this show. You know, you can have a relationship with God, you can have a relationship with your body, you can have a relationship with people, right?
Right.
So one of the things is I was in full-time practice for about 25 years. I specialized in eating disorders and obesity. And so I wrote several books to help people in those areas, Chris, because it's a tough area for people. Losing weight is not for the faint of heart.
No.
And a lot of people eat out of emotions. You know, they're emotional eaters. So it's really important how you think about losing weight and how you think about treating your bodies and the food that you put into them.
Well, you and Steve Arterburn wrote Lose It for Life. It's a bestseller. And you also wrote Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World and Press Pause Before You Eat. So you've done your homework on this subject then.
And I actually have a book called Making Peace with Your Thighs on body image too, right, which kind of relates to what we're talking about.
Great title.
So those books take a whole person approach. They deal with this whole business of what I just said, how to think about weight loss, how to deal with your emotional and relationship issues and not go to food. And they give a lot of prescriptive advice about the how-tos. So, for instance, in Lose It for Life, there's an eating plan in that book. And I talk a lot about healthy lifestyle and what you have to change. In Raising Healthy Kids, that's really a book to help parents know how to help their kids with healthy eating, with exercise, with developmental issues, teasing, all of those issues that kids are dealing with. And Press Pause Before You Eat is all about the way we're cued in the environment around us to eat and how what our relationship with food really should be. And that's one of the problems as we get into this, is that a lot of us think that food is the enemy. We're battling it all the time, because how we think about food is going to influence how successful we will be when we're trying to make lifestyle changes. So dieting is really a negative term when it comes to losing weight for life.
You know, one of the reasons it's so hard not to think about dieting is because you see so many pictures of people with perfect bodies.
I know.
And they're everywhere. And all these images we see make us think that we need to lose a few pounds ourselves. And with that in mind, the mayor of London recently took action against the ads and the images of skinny people.
Yeah, this was last year. He was, and this is a report that was in The Guardian that I found. He says that Londoners were so sick of being bombarded by pictures of that ideal body that you were just talking about, the sort of beach body.
Right.
Every time they jumped on the tube. Now, the tube is
The subway.
Yeah. So he decided, the city's mayor, who is, his last name is Khan. I think he's the first Muslim mayor ever.
Right.
Well, he decided he was going to ban body shaming ads from the mass transit system. Wow. Some people here would say that's government, much government involvement, I'm sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But an example of such an ad, this is what it said. There was this ad on there. It said it was by a group called Protein Worlds, and it was Beach Body Ready campaign.
Yeah.
And so apparently this campaign led to a bunch of protests. People were doing online petitions with more than 70,000 signatures. They wanted it removed. And he said, okay. He told those people to stop running the ads and also asked that agency to work together with its advertising agencies and make it a little bit more friendly to the common person.
It's definitely a bold move.
And, it was.
And like you said, one that some folks may have trouble with because of the government getting involved in an ad agency changing its campaign. What do you think really made him want to do that?
Well, I kept reading on that story, and it says that he made this statement. So I think this is really goes to the heart of what he was trying to do. He says, as the father of two teenage girls, I'm extremely concerned about this kind of advertising, which can demean people, particularly women, and make them ashamed of their bodies. It's high time it comes to an end. Mm-hmm. Nobody should feel pressured while they travel on the tube or in a bus with unrealistic expectations surrounding their bodies. Now, I got to say, I wonder how much of that is influenced by how much Muslim women cover up their bodies.
Right.
It's a great point, isn't it?
It is impressive.
Yeah.
You know, a public official trying to do something about body shaming. I'm not sure using your governmental power is the way to go, but the message is good. It's a small move because there's so much out there pressuring us to lose weight and look like a supermodel or a celebrity, and we're bombarded, and we can easily think, maybe I should start to diet now.
Right. So one of the chapters in Lose It for Life is titled Lose Dieting for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we need to talk about dieting is because so many people do it and because dieting sets up most people to fail. So it's not a solution to keeping weight off because it involves this constant thinking about depriving ourselves, which we can talk about a little bit after we come back from the break.
That's right. This is a topic for nearly everyone who has struggled with body image and body weight. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We need to go to a short break, but when we return, more about losing dieting for life.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and if you'd like today's topic or any topic on relationships, go to Dr. Linda Mental's website, drlindamental.com, follow her on social media, and read her blogs, and certainly you can order any of her books on weight loss and our relationship with food. The Press Pause Before You Eat book focuses on relationship to food. So let's talk more about what happens when you diet and why it doesn't work. Dr. Linda, I do know this. When I tell myself I can't have something, I want it more. And then I give in, feel guilty, and then I tend to, especially with food, overeat. Then I feel bad. And that is a vicious cycle that dieting brings.
It does. And you are not alone in that.
Good.
You're not. There's an old saying, well, you wouldn't know this because you're not a therapist, but there's an old saying in therapy that says what you resist will persist. There's some truth to it, that the more you think about resisting something. So let me tell you a little story, a little research story they did on white bears. They brought in two groups of people and they showed them a movie about white bears. Mm-hmm. I think they were polar bears. And they told one group, whatever you do, don't think about the white bears. And then they just let the other group watch the movie. Mm-hmm. And at the end, they asked each group, how much did you think about white bears? The group that was told not to think about white bears thought about white bears the most.
Yeah.
So there it is. There's that principle. So we should make dieting a disorder. We should call it dieting disorder and give people a diagnosis because
right.
It's such a bad idea. And yet we're all doing it like you talked about. One of the reasons I'm concerned about dieting, Chris, is it's an entree often for people developing an eating disorder. And then, like you're saying, it just makes people feel failed.
Mm-hmm.
You just do this thing over and over and you cycle through it. So rather than dieting, I think we need to think about just moderation. Well, moderation isn't going to lead anybody to weight gain. And, you know, balance and moderation are biblical principles that maybe we need to apply to our eating and our relationship with food.
Well, Proverbs 16:32 does say moderation is better than muscle and self-control better than political power.
Well, that's a good one for today, isn't it?
Right,
self-control
yeah, really.
Than political power.
Well, then in Philippians 4:5 adds, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
Those are biblical principles to be moderate. So one really good way to apply moderation to eating is when it comes to just your portion size. So many Americans could actually lose weight if we just watched our portion size. I went to a very well-known Italian restaurant chain not too long ago. I think you did today, too, or last night.
This weekend,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. You did, too. So, you know, I got my food, and I looked at it, and because I work so much with food and food mm-hmm. models, that was easily 4 servings in
wow.
my portion.
Mm.
And so it's really hard when we go to restaurants and we know that for us to really think about, okay, I'm only going to eat this fourth of my meal and
right.
take the rest of it home.
Well, since it was all there, did you go ahead and eat all of it?
Actually, I didn't.
Okay.
I ate half of it, stopped,
mm-hmm.
and took the rest of it home. But I don't always do that, especially
right.
if I'm not thinking about it. I'm talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just eating. So when you take your portion size and you just go for moderation, you most likely will start losing a little bit of weight.
Well, what is one other area to practice moderation or balance besides portion control?
Well, probably the most important is the foods that you choose. So we have to begin to think about nutrition. Honestly, our Western diet is just so bad
right.
with all the fat and the sugar and the processed foods that we eat. So what we eat influences how we feel. We actually did a show on that. And that is when we load up on sugar, we load up on fat, we feel tired. And we're just putting in a bunch of empty calories in our body. And that's really affecting our physical health. So thinking about what you eat can also make a difference in losing weight.
So what you're saying then is lose the idea of dieting
mm-hmm.
and think more about how you can eat foods that will feed your body in a nutritious way and balance portions so as to not overeat.
So think about what you just said. I'm going to eat foods to feed my body in a nutritious way.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than going, I can't eat that. I can't have that. I wish
right.
I could have that. Do you see the difference in the mindset?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different mindset.
Don't diet, but change the way you eat.
Right. So it's all about how we think about the food. That's at least the first step of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something, again, that we want to think about depriving ourselves. We're going to nourish our body. We're going to change what we eat. We're going to watch the portion. And so it all begins with changing this thinking.
What about the idea that as you diet, you could be given control over to other people?
you're giving a lot of control over to other people and actually to the food itself.
Mm-hmm.
So a diet is sort of like Big Brother watching you.
Yeah.
You know, are you kind of saying you can't have that? No, those chips are not on the diet. Stop eating the pasta now. This is like what you're hearing in your head because of the way you want to look. The control is external, and you need to be in charge of that food. So, again, one of the reasons dieting doesn't work is because it's not coming from some internal cause inside of yourself.
Hmm.
It's not something that you've really decided, this is it. I've got to change. I've got to make these changes, and I'm going to choose to make those changes. So that really, that desire to eat better has to be something that is motivated from within. And too often, we try to get motivated, you know, by external things like rewards or points or, you know, I'm going to do this if I lose weight. And that doesn't last long term.
Isn't the point that people do, in fact, feel out of control?
Well, it's true because we're thinking about what we can't have versus what we'd like to choose, right? So we do kind of feel out of control. So again, we just have to change that around, and our mindset should go something like this. And this is what I do. Honestly, truly, I'm trying to do this more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at something like today. I was in a meeting and they were passing around brownies. Okay. And my clothes have been getting tight, so I'm trying to cut back. Good thing you can't see that on radio, right? So here's what I thought. I looked at those brownies and I thought, I can eat that. It's true, right? I have mm-hmm. the control. I can go ahead and make the choice to eat that. But I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. I have to make certain decisions when it comes to the foods I choose and the portion I eat. So I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? I could eat it if I want, but I'm going to choose right now not to have that.
Mm.
And when I did that, that sort of craving just went right away. So that's the difference in the mindset.
So you were able to turn down the brownie.
Yeah, I did. Because I said to myself, I can have it if I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm really have a goal and it's real important to me. So I'm going to just not do that right now.
I've never been able to turn down a brownie.
Have you ever tried that mindset though?
Yes, yes. We had cake at work today and I just simply said, don't need it.
Okay. Right. So did you pass it by?
I did.
Okay. See, it works.
But not brownies, though. This is cake.
Some things are easier than others.
That's right. You know, often when we eat, we feel emotionally empty. Do you ever do that? You go to food because of how you're feeling? And I would be lying to say that I don't do that. I try not to do it on a regular basis, that's for sure.
I think a lot of us eat when we're emotionally empty. So mm-hmm. our third tip here is to tell yourself that emotional eating just isn't going to fill the void or the emptiness that you feel. It doesn't make your emotional life better.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it usually adds to the guilt.
Right.
So you have to look at instead, Chris, why you feel empty, which of your emotional needs are not being met, because they're not going to get met with food.
What is behind feeling emotionally empty?
You know, it often has to do with people feeling like they lack meaning, they lack a purpose in their life. You're not sure why you're here, what God has for you, and how to make meaning out of the things that you do in everyday life. So you fill that space with food, with entertainment, work, anything that really just keeps you busy. So the solution really to that is to develop an active relationship with the Lord and seek Him, seek His purposes for you. And I have found that the more vibrant your personal relationship with God is, the more meaning you will find in your life.
Hmm. Well, stay with us as we go to a short break. More on losing dieting for life. And we'll talk about five questions in Lose It for Life when we get back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Remember to connect with Dr. Linda on social media and her website, drlindamental.com. And if you want to learn more on today's topic of losing dieting for life. Check out several of her books on weight loss and mindless eating. And Dr. Linda, before the break, we talked about 5 questions in Lose It for Life. Let's go through those.
So these are good questions to ask to kind of tell yourself, am I just eating out of stress? So the first one is, do I have effective ways of relaxing? Because a lot of us relax with food, right?
True.
In front of the television,
right.
Put the movie on, grab the popcorn and ice cream and whatever else may come. The second question is, do I exercise regularly? Because I find, I don't know if this is true for you, when I'm exercising, I'm not eating as much.
Right. And you feel so much better.
You do. You do, because of the natural endorphins that are being released through exercise.
Right.
And then we've already talked about, do I eat sensibly? Am I eating good nutritional food? And the fourth one is, do I manage my time well when I'm stressed? Because sometimes what we're doing is we're not managing our time. We're getting all anxious and kind of worried, and then we're grabbing food in that process. And then the fifth one is, do you get enough sleep? And I think we have done shows, if we haven't, I think we've done on sleep and gaining weight.
Right.
Because if you don't sleep well, you have a tendency to gain weight.
What about eating to avoid doing something? I've thought before that eating can help me avoid what it is I need to do next. It's a delay tactic.
It is a delay tactic.
And it can work very well.
Yeah, but the problem is you still have to get the task done, right? So now you've eaten all this food, you're feeling guilty, and you still have to do what you had to do.
Usually the task is exercising.
Yeah. You know, kids do this all the time, don't they?
They do.
I'm hungry. I need a glass of water.
Right.
It's a delay tactic to go to bed, right?
But every night.
Every night.
Yeah.
Mine didn't do that so much because I guess they figured out really fast we weren't going to give into that.
Kids will stay outside all day in the heat and play, but all of a sudden at bedtime, they're dying of thirst and they have to have water.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
It's just that delay tactic.
Right.
So eating can be that. You know, I'll go to the fridge, look around, pull something out, fix it, and then I'll start that report that I have to do.
Right.
I'm using it for my work a lot of times. In fact, the other day I was doing crunching numbers on research. I don't know if you can think of anything probably more boring. And we were doing that. We were like, isn't there anything in our office to eat? And
yeah.
We all found ourselves like trying to find stuff to eat because we were just so bored and trying to procrastinate. So, yeah, that can be a strategy.
Yeah, I do that too when I'm bored. Just eat because simply need something.
Yeah,
to
it
do.
Is there.
Right.
So when I write books, I have to tell you, that's one of the times I go to the cupboard and I start browsing.
Right.
Or what I did was really bad is the first book I wrote, I put a bowl of M&Ms by my table. That was disastrous. By an hour or two into it, I had that whole thing gone because of I was so bored.
We have a 5-pound bag of M&Ms.
Oh, those are dangerous.
The next thing you know, it's gone.
Have you tried the strawberry ones?
No.
I love the strawberry ones.
So
I'm not buying that bag. I think a lot of us eat when we have nothing else to do and we just don't have really good ways to relax. I think that's part of the problem. Chris, in our culture, we're not good at relaxing and sitting quiet.
Well, let's get practical here then. When we are stressed or we are emotional or, in this case, bored, what else can we do with ourselves besides eating?
So we need to substitute something else, and we need to practice just doing something else besides going to the food. So things like take a walk. Now, what I did in my building and my work environment is I got up and I walked around the floor that I work on instead of going over for the chocolate. The problem is every one of our administrative assistants has chocolate at their desk, so I have to kind of walk past that. Another good one is listen to music. You do that. You work in radio. You listen to music. It's listening to music at the station would be a great way to relax and not eat.
True.
Sometimes just taking deep breaths and slowing yourself down and inhaling really slowly, exhaling, and just giving yourself a moment to think can sometimes stop that eating. I think another good one is do something in the room besides going to the refrigerator.
Right.
So maybe play with a dog, read a magazine, read a book. Do something.
You also suggest calling a friend. If I were to do that.
Yeah. Would you eat while you're talking?
No, they would get so tired of me calling all
every time,
all the time
you wanted to eat.
Right.
Once in a while. It's probably moderation.
Right.
Is that biblical principle. Now, I know this isn't one guys think of, but sometimes taking a bath.
Huh.
Where is the one place in your house you don't eat?
It's true.
I mean, seriously, the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I actually used to tell that to my patients who were obese or trying to lose weight. I actually used to tell them, go into the bathroom when you have that craving because there's just you're so conditioned not to eat there that it actually helped a lot of patients when they were trying to do that. Here's a good one that my aunt always did. Just clean something. get up and just do something active and clean something. Or if you want to keep your hands busy, do something like a puzzle, knit, a game, something. So those are good substitutions.
Dr. Linda, I have heard, too, that sometimes we mistake being hungry for thirsty.
Okay.
So what if you were to simply just get a glass of water?
That's good.
And you may not feel as hungry anymore.
I think a lot of the food plans people are on tell them to drink a lot of water and to try to fill up with water. So that's a good thing to do, too, especially before you go to an event. I have told patients, drink a lot of water and eat an apple before you go, and that usually curbs the appetite.
Mm. These steps you mentioned are lifestyle changes, and they can take time. And that seems too long for most of us. We'd rather just give in, eat, and then try a crash diet. How do we get motivated to take these steps?
Well, we talked about it has to come from within. You have to focus on what are the positive benefits if I do this. And if your motivation is just something that's coming up like a wedding or an event, you're going to fall short. You're going to try that crash dieting. It's not going to work in the long run. So it has to come within, because this is the bottom line. There's just no magic pill to losing weight.
Well, as always on this program, Dr. Linda, we encourage listeners to turn to the Word. What can we find in Scripture to help us on this journey?
Well, let's close with this, Chris. We'll just tell everybody that's listening that you need to stay in the race. Press on to the mark. Those are scriptural directives. Don't give up, but change your focus from dieting to using food in the proper way. There's a lot in the Bible where people were using food to nourish, to celebrate, to be in community. Sustain your health, to enjoy. And don't try to go and fill the emptiness that you might be feeling in your life with food. Instead, go deeper in your faith. And here's a prayer we could end with from Lose It for Life. For everyone who feels like giving up, for everyone who thinks they can't go on, give them, Father, a revelation of your love and help. You desire them to go the distance. Your reward is great, both today and eternally. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and the final prize. Give us the strength to endure what we think we can't. More than anything, give us your presence. Connect us with those who will encourage and share in the race until the end, and may we be strengthened through the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Doing life together.
Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.